Hello, friends, and welcome to the new Highfields Church podcast. My name is Ben Gardner, and this is a new podcast with people from our church talking about the real issues that affect each of us in our daily lives. So you're very welcome today, and I'm so happy and honoured to be joined today by our very own Mark Wiltshire and Jeff Cresswell. Guys, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah,
thanks for coming on. Before we start, can I just ask a bit about who you are, what you do, Mark?
Okay, I'm a semi-retired GP in the NHS. My role in the church, I've been an elder now for, I think I'm in my ninth year now. My specific area of responsibility is as the missions elder here in the church.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Jeff?
Yeah, I'm a completely retired head teacher.
Completely?
Yes. nobody lets me loose running a school anymore. I spend quite a bit of time doing courses for head teachers, mm-hmm. Mostly on well-being and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm an elder in the church.
Thank you so much for coming on. You're very brave. This is our first episode, so we'll see how this goes. One of the main reasons for starting this podcast is to help us as a church to share our lives together when that's become so difficult in the pandemic. But we're also hoping perhaps you're a listener tuning in and you're just curious to learn what do Christians believe, how do they face the normal issues of life that come to all of us. So we hope that this podcast will be insightful for you. And today's topic I'm especially excited about, which is on the book of Proverbs and how we can use this book in our real lives. Jeff, what is the book of Proverbs?
It's a book which contains wisdom. It's wisdom literature. Mm-hmm. It starts off with a long passage with advice, basically, father-to-child type advice. Then it has a section on particular statements of wise action. It's usually behavior or character traits and their consequences. Mm-hmm. Very simple and straightforward on the surface, actually very deep. Mm-hmm. And then it finishes with what is really a description of a godly wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we might get onto that later. When did you first come across Proverbs?
Last century, when I was in my 20s, right. I listened to a talk given by a gentleman called John Mulholland. Mm-hmm. And he said he was on a plane with an American businessman. And then he asked the American businessman, who wasn't a Christian, he said, what is the secret of your success as a businessman? And he said, well, I studied the book of Proverbs in the Bible, and whatever the Proverbs say, that's what I do. And that's why my business is a success. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, if Proverbs has that kind of wisdom, I could base a lot of my teaching at the time, my parenting, mm-hmm. and eventually my running of a school mm-hmm. around the principles in Proverbs. Mm-hmm. And so that's basically what I've done.
Were you a Christian at that time?
Yes, I was.
You were. Were you kind of surprised to hear someone benefiting so much from a book in the Bible if they don't even believe some of its essential
things? Yes. That's why it hit me so hard. Really. Yeah. That's why it was such a different thought for me. Yeah. I'd never imagined and never read it particularly mm-hmm. before that as a Christian.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating. Mark?
Well, for me, I was a lot younger, really, in the sense that I was brought up in a Christian home and it was a sort of home which had Bible texts and verses scattered around the house. Mm-hmm. And I remember as a very young child, one of them, which I can still remember very clearly on the mantelpiece, was, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. And so I remember really, I guess, one of my very first memories, probably as a 5 or 6 year old, just looking at these verses, and particularly that, what on earth does that mean, you know? Mm-hmm. I guess the sort of church that we went to, sort of faithful Bible teaching evangelical church, would have been the sort of church where, you know, the 3 or 4 most famous Proverbs would often have been quoted in prayer. But I have to admit, I don't remember or recall too many sermon series on Proverbs throughout my Christian life. But then in more recent years, we had a series of seminars here in Highfields. And that encouraged us to just look at the Proverbs in a little, you know, each proverb in a little bit more depth. And the person leading that, which is none other than Jeff, actually, just really helped me, and I think many others, just to go behind the obvious. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the attractions for me, just the sort of the fact that Proverbs invites us to reflect.
Mm-hmm. It's a unique book in that sense, isn't it? If we step back a little bit from Proverbs and just ask, what is wisdom, Jeff?
Proverbs has a very interesting reflection on that. It says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And so therefore you almost need to say, what is the fear of the Lord? And as I've understood it, just looking at scripture, there's a verse in Isaiah 50 verse 10 says, who among you fears the Lord? And that goes on to say, talking about trust and obedience to God's word. And I think trust and obey is the practical outworking of what it means to fear the Lord. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the start of wisdom. If I can actually submit to God, trust him, and find out actually what he thinks. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if I can find out what he thinks, mm-hmm. then I'm some way towards wisdom. Mm-hmm. That's not a practical definition, but that's the sort of underpinning of it. Mm-hmm.
It's almost the first principle, isn't it? Does that, though, make sense alongside kind of you seeing the first person who you really impressed you with it was a business?
Yes, in terms of trust and obey, mm-hmm. but not in terms of what the business was just obeying.
Right.
he was just taking it as its face value.
Sure.
There wasn't a relationship involved. Mm-hmm. And I think obviously the fundamental of the Christian faith is a relationship. Mm-hmm. So he was just treating it as a rule book mm-hmm. to follow. Mm-hmm. But it works as a rule book mm-hmm. because it's God's wisdom. Mm-hmm. So, yes, wisdom for me is more than knowledge. It's the mm-hmm. practical outworking mm-hmm. of right understanding.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, just to add to what Jeff said, I think the first part of chapter 2 is really, really helpful in that regard, and it's layers upon layers of trying to look into, well, what is wisdom? What is the fear of the Lord? Mm-hmm. And it says, turn your ear to wisdom, okay, but then apply your heart to understanding, call out for insight, cry aloud for understanding, search for it as for hidden treasure. Mm-hmm. Then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Mm-hmm. For the Lord gives wisdom. So there's a greater wisdom which can only come from God. And I think the whole book cries out that wisdom, the wisdom that comes from God, is a superior wisdom, mm-hmm. the only mm-hmm. true wisdom. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's how I would interpret it.
That's fascinating because, you know, one of the reasons for this episode was, how do we use Proverbs in real life, not just keeping it in the mind? But what you're saying actually first is, before you use its principles, it needs to meet you in your heart as a relationship matter between you and God. Would that be right?
Yeah.
I heard you right.
Well, exactly. And that's that's why so many of the Proverbs from chapter 10 on are not just simple sort of yes, no's, corollaries. You know, it all depends on this relationship, which is unpacked in those first 9 chapters. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for people who are not familiar with Proverbs, it starts with 9 chapters where a father is telling the son, get wisdom, prize it highly. But then it moves on in chapters 10 onwards to some quite terse sayings about practical life, which I guess maybe a businessman might focus on those ones.
Certainly, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But the first 9 is actually where we begin. Okay, thinking about now in a pandemic and all the challenges, the trials that people are going through, is the book of Proverbs relevant for that? Jeff? What do you think? You're smiling.
It would be difficult if we said no, wouldn't it? It would be a downer on this interview.
That'd be the end of the interview.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Clearly.
Mm-hmm. In what way?
Well, I think there are certain proverbs that speak to the underpinning of character and relationships and the quality of those things.
Mm-hmm.
That a pandemic is an exterior force that comes in, and obviously you have to adapt to it,
mm-hmm.
but you don't lose the fundamentals. So I'll give you an example. Proverbs 20:28 says, "Love and faithfulness keep a king safe. Through love, his throne is made secure." So that's talking fundamentally as a king, so it's leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And the key qualities of leadership is love and faithfulness. So you come to a pandemic, and as leaders of the church, you don't stop communicating love, and you must be faithful. So it's harder to communicate love in some respects because we can't see each other in the mm-hmm. same way. So we have to think round different ways of helping people at their different point of need.
Mm-hmm.
So now they have a different point of need. So our love is to think, okay, how can we do that? How can we support people? How can we pastor people
mm-hmm.
who are in difficult circumstances and different mm-hmm. circumstances?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the faithfulness. What does faithfulness mean in a pandemic? Well, faithfulness in a pandemic means having safe services, mm-hmm. working through risk assessments,
mm-hmm.
Having operational plans for what we do with children. Mm-hmm. It immediately applies. And if you focus on those two things, they say love and faithfulness, then that's a really clear set of guidelines for leadership.
Yeah, we see a contrast between following the way of wisdom and folly, contrasted sort of throughout. The folly is basically not listening to God's wisdom. And we read verses like, it's the last verse of chapter 1, actually, "Whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm." And that verse comes after describing what would happen in the corollary over about 10 or 11 verses, where it's essentially chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that that's not promising that everything will always be completely okay for Christians. We know that. But it does mean that if you walk in the wisdom which God gives us, that ultimately he is in control. And so anything that happens to you, you are in his arms. And to me, that is, you know, consistent with other Christian teaching.
Mm. And the verse you said at the start, Mark, Proverbs 3:5-6.
Lean not unto your own understanding. But,
yes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we get bombarded from the press with all sorts of understanding, you know, things about COVID, but we don't lean on that.
Mm.
We lean on the Lord in those circumstances.
Mm.
And it's easy to lean on the latest figures and the latest vaccine and whatever. It's going to be, they're important, but actually our trust needs to be in the Lord in those circumstances, which was the verse you quoted.
Yeah.
Mm. It's a very, very comforting truth, that, actually, isn't it? What else can Proverbs give us practically as well in times of suffering and hardship, beyond the relational side as well? Are there stuff we can gain there?
I think it gives lots of indications of one of the themes that runs through Proverbs is that it's the Lord's wisdom we look for in a situation.
Mm-hmm.
And not man's understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are many proverbs that speak to our need to really understand God in a situation and what he thinks is best.
Mm-hmm.
And not to accept the premise of the world. The world has a very powerful drive and... Mm-hmm. It forces its premise on you.
Mm-hmm.
So the premise that COVID is a disaster that's in some way, you know, as it pushes you, has God got this one type of thing?
Mm-hmm.
And Proverbs will say, do not answer a fool according to his folly. Mm-hmm. And you don't accept the premise that this is a disaster out of control. So if you engage with this kind of thinking, then you are going to end up in trouble and arguing things that are not really worth arguing.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Jeff. I mean, there's so many sort of quick sound bites for and against a particular action in COVID. There's so much controversy on social media and in the news media. Mm. And it's often very polarized, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, that something is definitely the right way or somebody's definitely got it wrong. And we just don't see that as a wise way of talking or communicating.
Mm.
In Proverbs, I mean, there's so many verses, but chapter 4, verse 24 says, or 23 says, above all, guard your heart. So again, it comes back not just to what we're doing outwardly, but ultimately it is a spirit, you know, it's what's going on in your heart. But then it says, put away perversity from your mouth.
Mm.
Keep corrupt talk far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet. Again, you know, we you know, echoes of, you know, he will make our paths straight.
Mm.
So our communication should be, you know, basically secondary to what's going on in our heart, and what's going on in our heart should be directed by our understanding, our fear, and knowledge of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And that speaks very practically to not engaging in the kind of vitriol, backwards and forwards, Facebook-type social media stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
It's not the place for us to start blaming people, pointing the finger. You know, the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, without uncertainty or insincerity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a New Testament explanation of wisdom. But Proverbs encourages you into that world of a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger.
That's so relevant, isn't it, today, in the way we're kind of not just managing the stress of the pandemic in our own individual lives, but also how we speak to others, how we engage with people, and even weigh what is said. I always think one of my favourite Proverbs, I can't remember where it is, but it's the purpose of a man's heart is like deep waters.
Yes.
But a man of understanding draws it out.
Mm.
And I always think that's exactly what Jesus did, Matthew.
Yeah, and he did it by asking questions rather than just pronouncing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many proverbs that talk about that. If one gives answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. And we're, as Christians, in these kind of circumstances, we get stressed and we charge in.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, we need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, I've got this statistic. I don't know if that's right or not. I mean, nobody can argue with it. But Jesus was asked 183 questions. He answered 3 directly and asked 307 questions in reply.
Mm-hmm.
Which speaks to the idea that you don't give an answer before you hear, that you understand. And in a pandemic, you can so easily, because you're stressed, jump in, decide this, do that. Particularly some temperaments want action right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Proverbs just says, you know, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And listen.
And Highfields, you know, we exist to spread a passion for Jesus. That's our aim, that's our vision. How does Proverbs help us do that as a church? Mark?
Well, I think there's so many parts of the book and so many verses and passages which point forward to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 8 is really, really interesting because, again, it's talking about the contrast between folly and wisdom, and it personifies wisdom in chapter 8 and personifies folly as well.
Mm.
But when you actually read it, you're hearing or you're reading that that wisdom, the person wisdom, has actually existed before the world was created. And it's got such... and then there's quite an interesting discourse in chapter 8 about the creation of the world. So it's got huge echoes of Colossians chapter 1, where, you know, Christ is the first fruits of creation, and the parallel is really very, very stark for me. So although it's wisdom, it's poetry, it's an oracle, that particular part of the chapter, to me it's also a prophecy as well. Mm-hmm. One of my favourite verses is in Proverbs is 18:24, and it is talking about friendships, but then suddenly there's this full stop, and it says, "There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother," and that's probably my favourite quote from Proverbs. And I think most Christians would accept that it's talking about Christ.
Mm.
And again, it's got such wonderful and rich parallels with Psalm 139, where he goes ahead of us, before us, when we're sleeping, when we're waking. The fact that he will never leave us nor forsake us in Hebrews. And, of course, that promise in the Great Commission that he'll be with us always, even unto the end of the age. So, yeah, he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, even in COVID, when no one can stick to us. No friends can in that respect. And to me, that's a very precious foretaste of Christ.
And also, when you think of how it applies, you just have to look at Jesus' life, and that's how it applies.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, humility comes before honour. That's mm-hmm. a proverb. And Jesus, yes, humility is just so much part of Jesus' life on earth mm-hmm. before he's honoured, mm-hmm. before his glory. And so many of the proverbs, if you think about how they work, you just need to look at how Jesus lived them out.
Mm-hmm.
Because he really did live these proverbs out. Mm-hmm. And you see them in practice. So it's not just an example of Proverbs,
mm-hmm.
but he lives Proverbs. He's the personification mm-hmm. of these of this wisdom.
Well, I think that's a brilliant note to end this first interview on. As a young man, I feel like I've been in the presence of just wisdom today, and I'm so grateful for you both. One of my favourite Proverbs is the glory of a young man is his strength, and the splendour of an old man is his grey hair.
Well, Mark, you win there.
I think, Mark, you've got that. Yeah, Jeff, you could do a bit of work on that splendour.
Yeah.
But I'm so grateful for you both to come on this, and I hope it's been helpful to you at home. Until next time, God bless.